again, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and a faith in God. Instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. So here it talks about, let's leave the elementary teachings. Now, in other versions, that's, let's leave the first principles about Christ and go on to maturity. So before you can go on to maturity, guess what you got to learn first? The first principles. And so, with the studies we have, these are not our doctrine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This isn't like our church follows this doctrine versus another church.
Come on, bro.
This is what the Bible teaches.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
And in each study, there are only a few verses, maybe eight total, that describe an understood concept that's threaded from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. Whether it's seeking God with all your heart. Whether it's the Word of God has to be your standards and nothing else. Or discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus. Or what the kingdom of God is. Or light and darkness. Or the cross. Or the church. Those, and then you got the other extra studies around it.
Yeah.
But with those studies, you're learning scriptures that as you read through the entire Bible, you see so many. I mean, you could literally get 30, 40, 50 scriptures that explain the same discipleship study. You could even do a whole discipleship study with other scriptures and not even use the ones that are in the discipleship study.
Yeah, that's right.
But these scriptures are picked because they're clear, they're concise, they work together in a great way, and these scriptures will teach people the commitment that it takes to be a disciple. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So these studies, as we're learning them, these are the basic principles of being saved.
Yeah.
They're the first principles. And so first we got to get these ones down. And if somebody says, hey, why do you believe this? You say, well, here's why, and let's check out this scripture and this scripture. You know what I mean? Like, what about light and darkness? You know? Is there any scriptures that talk about that? Or a list of sins? Where might that be in the Bible? Those are different things you're going to learn. Or, you know, what about just believing? You know, is that enough? You can say, well, no, let's go check out this scripture and look at that one. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, we got to get this solid. That's the first point. Number one, it's to solidify.
Come on, bro.
Let's go to John chapter 13.
One purpose,
solidify. Okay, John 13, verse 34. It says, a new command I give you. Love one another.
Come on, bro.
As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen. So, one of the things, in order to have a unified movement, is you're not going to be unified if you don't have true love for each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if we're not unified on the first principles of what it means to be a disciple, there's not going to be that depth of love that we got to have for each other, because we're going to be like, I'm not really sure if that brother's a disciple or not. We're not unified on what it really means, according to the Bible, to be disciples.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if somebody was like, nah, you don't really need to do that.
Right.
And you're like, what? I mean, the Bible says you have to do that.
Right.
When that disunity comes because of doctrine, then love starts going out the window.
Right.
For us, it's super key as a movement to be unified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's something amazing when somebody does a Bible study here and then goes all the way to London and meets a disciple who has the exact same convictions.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And you say, whoa, this is powerful.
Yeah, right.
And so some of us have seen that. We've gone to other churches and we see disciples from all around the world and we say, man, we are unified.
Right.
But that's what this class does, is it gets us unified on the first principles. Right. Of the Bible. Amen? And when we're tight with the Bible, when we're tight-knitted into the Bible, then we can be a unified movement that shows the world that we love one another. We're truly Jesus' disciples. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the second point of this class is to unify. Number one, to solidify your understandings of the elementary teachings, the first principles. Number two, to unify so that we are in the same mind and thoughts of our brother or our sister, yeah, like we're called to be according to the Bible. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
You with me on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The last one is to multiply. Let's look at Matthew 28.
Multiply.
Mom,
I've heard about that.
Come on, Mike.
Matthew 28 goes, it goes into that one. Okay, Matthew 28. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So, of course, this passage is called the Great Commission.
Right.
It's the Great Commission because God has commissioned us to do something. It says, number one, you're going to go and you're going to make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Baptizing them.
Yeah.
And so, to baptize the nations is the goal of what we're doing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But how do you baptize the nations? Well, it says, first you got to make them disciples, and then you baptize them.
Come on.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
So, with this, we have to learn the first principles in such a way that we're able to make someone a disciple. Sis, there's seats all up here. You can come on up. There's one right here. There's some back there, too. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I think that one might be taken. There, you want to sit next to Mark? Or if you want to come right up here, that one's fine, too. So, for us, understanding we got to make disciples in order to baptize the nations.
Yeah.
And so, with making disciples, if we can't teach others, who can teach others who can teach others that we're not going to make it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, we're taking the first principles so that we can multiply.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
You got to know these teachings. If you don't know these first principles studies, you're not going to be able to multiply. You're not going to be able to teach somebody with authority. You're going to watch other people do it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be involved in fruitful labor yourself.
Right.
Come on. This is key. You have to learn these for your own self. You should be able to have a Bible and nothing else and be able to take somebody from seeking God all the way through counting the cost and be able to make them a disciple. If that's not your goal, you're not following Jesus' challenge in the Great Commission.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so, here, as we take these studies, every question is important. The nations are on the line.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You are given a great responsibility as a disciple. You're expected to teach someone else how to be a disciple.
Right.
And amen for the first principle studies that give us a very clear, concise way to show somebody the overall view of what it takes to be saved as far as the Bible's concerned. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, we got to take it and make sure we're taking everything super, super seriously as far as the purpose of the class. Number one, solidify.
Yeah.
We're solidifying you guys, the future leaders of the movement, to be able to go out and know the first principles. Number two, we're unifying. John 13, we got to love one another to reach the world. And by knowing these concepts and being totally on top of it scripturally, based on the Bible, not unified because we go to the same church, unified because of God's word,
right,
then we're able to reach the nations.
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on, bro. Yeah.
And finally, Jesus' charge, go make a disciple and then baptize him. You're learning the first principles so that you can take God's word and show somebody clearly what it takes to be a disciple,
yeah,
and they change.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And guys, when you learn it, it's awesome to be able just to sit down with somebody at a table knowing we're going to do the light and darkness study right now.
Right.
And knowing that God's word is going to speak clearly to revolutionize this person's life forever.
Wow. Yeah.
For me, 2 weeks ago, it was awesome. I got to go to Mason and Natalie's wedding.
Oh, awesome.
And I studied with Mason from seeking God all the way to the end.
Wow.
And now he's partnering up with the Willises, and they're going down to plant the Sydney mission team.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is.
And to be there with Mason, I got to tell Mason, I was like, Mason, now I've been at the two most important days of your life. I was at his baptism and baptized him, and then I got to see him get married.
Wow.
And so to see that these studies are exactly what me and Mason went through, from seeking God, Word of God, discipleship, the kingdom, L&D. I mean, I can remember our kingdom study. I can remember our light and darkness study. And think, you know, what was crazy, our L&D study was at 7 a.m. during finals week.
Wow.
Is that crazy? But those studies have now changed Mason. Number one, to make him a fired up leader for God.
Yep.
An intern in the LA church, now going to plant the city church, getting married, one of the best song leaders in the movement. I mean, the guy's a beast. But guess what changed him from this Cal State Fullerton kind of loose guy to now being a mission team, you know, co-leader in Sydney? The first principle studies.
Yep.
These are going to make future mission team leaders, guys.
Wow.
Only if you know them. And you can confidently lead them. Amen?
Amen.
And wouldn't it be awesome? Let's see, it's 2013. He got baptized in, I think, 2009. 4 years from now, to go to the wedding of somebody you baptized, knowing they're about to go plant a church in a whole other continent, and say, I learned the first principles, and now I'm at the two biggest decisions of your life.
Wow.
And he married a disciple. Amen?
Come on.
Amen, bro.
And that's what's waiting on your campus, at your job, in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes.
But the only thing between that is, do you know these studies? Can you teach them confidently?
Come on, bro.
Are you solid on the first principles? Amen, guys?
Amen. Come on, bro.
So, you're allowed to bring visitors to these classes, amen? You can do that. And then you say, well, how do I get a study? Do I go after cold contact and just meet people straight up? Or do I just build friendships? The answer is yes.
Come on, bro.
Jesus says we got to do both. We got to meet people cold contact. We also have to build great relationships too.
That's right.
And so we need to become really good at building great relationships. Some of us are naturally gifted at it. Some of us flat out stink because we've been into computers and video games our whole life.
Oh, man.
And practicing jazz saxophone by ourselves. And you got to learn it. But you got to learn how to build relationships if you want to win them to Christ. One thing that's awesome, my old discipler back in Cal State Fullerton, and now he leads the Sao Paulo mission team, Raul Moreno.
Oh.
He would go to thrift stores and buy NIV Bibles.
Yeah.
Because you can get them super cheap.
Nice.
And he would buy them for 50 cents, a quarter, a dollar. Oh, and every time he'd do a study with somebody, he'd give them one of the Bibles he found at the thrift store. And that's something you want to have planned. And write something in it, like, so fired up we're studying the Bible. Here's your own Bible from me to you.
Cool.
And then they got their own Bible that they can reference and study and use. Most people don't have a Bible, or they have a King James Version Bible that they can't even understand. So a great thing to do is to have a Bible that you give them. Amen?
Amen.
And by doing that, you're going to fire them up.
Right.
And they think, this guy cares about me. This is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there's a lot of cool stories, but that first Bible, that as a disciple, the first Bible you ever got, that thing is like your gold nugget. You know what I mean? Like, it's the thing that helps you out. And so you get the person and you're talking to them, and now you got to figure out, okay, do they believe in God and in Jesus or not? Which one? And so if they say, I totally believe in God 100%, and I totally believe in Jesus, then you know, okay, let's start the first principles. If they don't, you're going to jump into the John studies. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 30.
Come on, Rob.
Here's the scripture you start off. Me and Robbie and Cho did this last night with a guy. You start off with John chapter 20. In verse 30. Cho is awesome, by the way.
Come on, Cho. Come on, Cho. Come on, bro.
And Robbie's not so bad either. Amen.
No, Mike, you're awesome. Come on, Cho.
And so, for us, me, Robbie, Cho, and the other brothers, we're talking to this guy. And he's like, you know, I'm thinking there is a creator. I'm not really sure about Jesus. So we sit down and say, okay, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm starting Genesis. I'm like, okay, let's read John chapter 20, verse 30. It says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So this is interesting. The writer of the book of John, take a look at it. It says he did a lot of other miracles. They're not recorded. But the ones written in this book of John is written for a reason. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Wow.
So here, this book was written for one specific purpose in mind. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. Yeah.
That for somebody who does not believe in God, this book written, that they can read it, and by reading and seeing and looking and diving deep into what's talked about here, they'll believe in God. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
That's the purpose of John. So you say, hey, so let's try this out. Let's read it, and let's see what you learn and where you're at after we study out the book of John. And so now we'll jump into it. And then we read through the first chapter just to give them a kind of feel for what it is. And then he'll be studying on Thursday too. Amen?
Yeah.
So when you start with somebody and they don't believe, you read them that scripture and you say, let's start studying out the book of John. Because this book was written for somebody to believe when they don't.
Come on, bro.
And Aaron was one of those guys. You remember those days?
Yeah,
it was me, Aaron, and some of the brothers from the DePaul ministry back in the day.
DePaul.
We were called the Arts and Smarts.
And
we met at DePaul, and it was always me, Johnny Bricado, Cordero, and Aaron, who would go over to the Chipotle right across the street.
Yeah.
Chipotle!
Every Bible talk, we would go over there and study, and we'd read through the book of John.
Yeah.
And Aaron was atheist.
Oh.
Isn't that intense?
I know that.
But we read this scripture, we say, hey, Aaron, let's read through the book of John and see what happens. It's written so that you'll believe. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but at least we'll check it out.
Nice.
And so, guess who's here on the mission team as an intern?
Aaron!
So guys, don't pass up the John studies with somebody. It'll change somebody's life.
Nice.
That's right.
I mean, maybe not for the best. Just joking. But their life will be changed. Amen? That's just an inside joke that me and Aaron have about changing lives. Okay.
I get it.
I'll let you guys all in. Really quick. In London, there's a pamphlet that they hand out for missions contribution called Changing Lives. And it has one of the brothers who used to live like in a drug house on the streets. And now he's fired up Bible talk leader at the church. And I was like, Aaron, we could put you on that. Once you were, you know, graduating from DePaul, about to be a public defender, making $80,000. And now you make barely a fraction of that. I mean, your life has been changed. So not only has it changed from drug house to Bible talk, but also changes from making some good money down to I'm working for the kingdom because it's the best thing in the world. Anyway, change lives. So here, as you're studying that out, you now see how awesome the Word of God is. And so you start off in John 1, and we'll just start here and learn about how the Word became flesh. Let's turn there real quick. Isn't it cool to see people who are in this room who've been impacted by the Word of God?
Yeah.
Yes. And Aaron's just like the first. I mean, we could just go through so many of you and just talk about the studies and how it's changed your life too. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Look at verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So this is intense. We learn through John, through the studies, we get to watch the Word in action. Is that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when doing a John study, you have each Christian read the Bible, and then the friend that's with you read it too. So you'll take, for instance, one person would read verses 1 through 18. So here's how you're doing it, right? You're leading the study. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You're leading it.
Amen.
You start off with a prayer, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, I'm going to read 1 through 18. And then the other guy in the study, Justin, he's going to read the next section, 19 through 28. And then you take the non-Christian guy, and you say, now you're reading from 19 through 28, and we're just going to go through each one and talk about it after we read that section. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you take that first one, you go through it, and as a person starts hearing the Word, thinking about it, faith starts coming into them. Isn't that awesome?
Yes. Yeah.
Because we know the Bible's true. It's not an experiment. We know it works.
Huh.
Either they harden their heart toward it because the faith is coming and they don't want to change, or they really do because they love God. But either way, faith will come to their heart as you start reading those words. And after you finish it, basically you read through the first chapter, talk about it a little bit, then you say, okay, this is awesome. Now your job is to read 2 through 4, or whatever you can get to. Say, we're going to get together on Thursday. You need to read the next 4 chapters, and we're going to talk about it. And you're going to hit different things. Now, you got to have a relationship with the person to know what you should challenge them on. If they're, I don't know. I'm thinking if you're sitting down with them and they think that the Bible is like a legend and it's not real, it's not true, you could point out, nobody would write this stuff about Jesus if he weren't real. Like, who would make up these different stories? Who in John chapter 1 would write that when Jesus was being followed by the apostles, soon to be, he turned around and said, what do you guys want? Like, it's not the most magical beginning. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, here's the glorious beginning of the men who would change the world for eternity.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist says, look, there's the Lamb of God. Guy's like, okay, let's check him out. They follow him. She's like, what do you want? And they're like, where are you staying at? Like, come and see. You know, it's kind of like you just put it up with these guys and they're dereliction. They go, they see, and then they go and they get other people. Philip goes and gets Nathaniel. Nathaniel comes and hears that Jesus from Nazareth. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Why? Because Nazareth was this old, poor city up at the top of Israel. It's kind of like Stockton.
Oh,
I'm sorry, guys.
Oh.
But imagine in San Francisco, this cosmopolitan, sophisticated city, if we were to say, guys, we found the Messiah. He's from Stockton. You're like, Stockton. Did anything good come from there?
No.
Yeah. Maybe he's from Eureka. I'm not going to say Bakersfield or Lancaster. Okay, amen, guys. Now, as you're going through the study, you're doing a few things. Every person is reading.
Yeah.
You're focused, and you're focused on the scriptures.
Amen.
What's going to change this person's life? The Bible.
Amen.
Amen? You're not, hey, let's read scripture and talk about ourselves. No. We're talking about the Word of God. We're focused on this.
Right.
Not on analogies and feelings and thoughts and all this stuff. We're reading the Bible. We're talking about what the Bible means. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you guys will lead a study and you don't even talk about the scriptures. It's just a basis for you to talk about yourself. That does not convert somebody. And that's why you might not have been fruitful and you're taking this for a fourth or fifth time. You got to learn how to teach the scriptures to somebody. Devoid of your own personal opinions.
Yeah.
To say, this is what the scripture teaches.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you going to follow it? Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you feel or I feel. Who cares about feelings? The Bible, no matter how you feel or how you think, will never change.
Right.
Amen, guys?
Amen.
And so, you're talking about the scriptures. Focus on the scriptures. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Right. You guys look like zombies right now.
I'm up, bro.
Okay. I'm running out.
All right. Let's get some smiles and some nods going on. I need encouragement, too, as much as you guys. Amen. Trust me, when you get up here and speak, you're going to want to get people to do that to you too.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
Awesome. You guys with me?
I'm with you, bro.
Bring the Bible.
Yes, my smart.
Teach. So, amen. Oh, just, I'm training. This is, we've got a lot of training going on.
Yes, my.
All right. So, you're teaching the scriptures, you're taking turns, you already prayed, but there's something else that should be happening. What?
Notes.
Oh, somebody needs to be taking notes for the scriptures.
Oh, you.
And guys, when you baptize somebody, it's really cool when they can show you all their notes. I still have all the notes from my study written down in my journal from 20 years ago.
It's awesome.
Now, just so you know, sometimes we're like, well, let me just email them to you. Amen. But that's not as special.
No.
When the person gets baptized.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I understand it's efficient and effective, and we're in a digital technology world right now. But 20 years from now, you're not going to say, look at the email I got. You know what I mean? So I want to encourage you to become good note takers with a pen and a piece of paper. And you can still email the notes as well, but learn how to take notes on paper, and that person will keep them for the rest of life. And it's a personal touch as well that's always helpful.
Come on,
bro. Okay. So,
come on, Mike. Come on, bro.
Doing awesome, bro.
Let me see what time. Okay. So, after you go through it, you got the notes, and you got to make sure you hand the notes to the person at the end.
Yes.
Amen. Have you ever been in a study where the person came here? I didn't give them the notes.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you thinking, bro? That was your only job. You wrote all the notes. You did it to it.
Right.
That was your one job. If you're taking notes, your one job is to hand those notes to the person. So don't miss that one job. And then after you're done, you want the study, the first John study, you want to go for maybe 30 minutes max. And it has to be cranking.
Come on, bro.
Because that is what they're going to think all the other studies are going to be like.
Right.
Yeah. And if it's the most boring, long, ignorant, lacking confident study that you could ever think of, and you say, hey, you want to study tomorrow?
Oh my God.
Guess what they're going to say? No, but maybe in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it's an awesome study,
right,
and it's concise and helpful and short and confident, they'll say, yeah, let's study tomorrow. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
So part of them wanting to study in a day or two means you got to crank that study.
Right.
If you don't know how to crank the study, they're not going to want to study again.
Right.
You got to know what you're talking about. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. That's why if you blow and totally tank the first study, that person's chances of becoming a disciple are a lot slimmer than when you crank that first study. Amen, guys?
Right.
The first study makes all the difference. If you can crank those first three, and that person is fired up, everything else will coast along, with a few bumps probably, to get them to the waters of baptism.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Come on, bro.
Okay, awesome. So, now you're done through the John studies, and the guy says, I believe in God.
Amen.
Awesome.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
Honestly, I'll never forget the day Aaron and me talked. And we went into our third bedroom in our apartment. We had a 3-bedroom apartment. We inherited it from the Brooms when they moved out.
Yeah.
And so me and Aaron were in our guest bedroom when we had guests over there to sleep in that bedroom. And we were talking, and in that bedroom, Aaron says, I believe in God.
Come on, Aaron.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Won't that be cool when you hear people say that? Like,
yes.
Heaven? When
yeah.
he says, I believe in God now.
Amen.
Come on. Like, man, this guy's life is changing every single day. It's getting more and more incredible.
Right.
And guess what's changing him? You, right?
No!
Amen.
The Bible
is changing
us.
Amen, guys? Good, I'll make sure. Okay. So, all right, now we're going to tell you a quick Seeking God study.
Come on,
guys.
Seeking God. 30 minutes, bro.
We need some names, though. Okay?
Bobby.
Hey, Pablo.
Pablo.
Gerard.
Pablo.
Okay. Pedro and Gerard.
Gerard,
that's
Tyrone.
Tyrone.
That's Mark.